Hello, everyone. Happy Easter. Some of you may be saying, hey, girl, it was yesterday. But no, not in the Catholic Church. We celebrate the biggest, largest feast day in the liturgical calendar, which is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, for 8 days. We call it the octave. So next Divine Mercy Sunday, which we're going to talk about a little bit, is when it all ends. And I am sure Catholics have heard about the eclipse, Divine Mercy Sunday, the Annunciation on the 8th. Divine Mercy Sunday is on the 7th. The Annunciation is on the 8th. Okay, there's some people who are not Catholic listening to this saying, what are you talking about? So, our octave, we celebrate for 8 days. It's basically from Sunday to Sunday. The Sunday after Easter is called Divine Mercy Sunday. It is a beautiful day. If you can, around you, I pray that you have a parish somewhere that will have Divine Mercy Sunday confession. Because when you go to confession on Divine Mercy Sunday, you can look up the promises. Go Divine Mercy Sunday, promises, Catholic, and it will come up. You can read it. You can see what you have to do. But you have your sins and your temporal punishment completely wiped away. So when we go to normal confession, our sins are wiped away. But we have to make reparation. We're called to change our lives. We're called to conform to Jesus. So some people can go to confession and then they go right back to their own lives. And they do the exact same thing, which is what I was doing for quite a few years. Every week I was going to confession just so I could receive Jesus in the Eucharist. But the key with confession is you want to have a contrite heart. You really want to not do this thing anymore. Otherwise, if you're just going like I was sometimes, walking out of that confessional knowing, darn it, I'm probably going to do this again, I'm not sure it really counts. But on Divine Mercy Sunday, that's when I went to confession after being gone for 26 years, and I'm telling you, I floated out of there. Let me explain the difference between a sacrament and a sacramental, and then we'll get back to the octave. Divine Mercy Sunday, I want to talk about this eclipse that's coming and the Annunciation of Mary. So, what's a sacrament? A sacrament is baptism in the church. It is the anointing of the sick. It is marriage. And it's confession. There's also the consecration or the holy orders of priests and nuns and religious people. I know I'm forgetting one or two here, but I think there are 7 sacraments of the church. And I don't think I counted them all. That was why it was so important for me and my husband to get married in the Catholic Church, so that I was in good standing. My husband and I got married 3 times, once in Mexico, all by ourselves. And oddly enough, I'm not on the journey yet. Jesus didn't slap me upside the head and say, hey, follow me. I was still living a horrible, sinful life. But something about me said, it just doesn't seem like we got married. We need to get married in a church. But I didn't go to the Catholic Church. We went to a non-denominational church, got married the 2nd time a year later on the day of our wedding, our first wedding. And then a few years later in 2014, we got married in the Catholic Church. And for about a year and a half, I wasn't able to receive Jesus in the Eucharist because I wasn't married in the church. The Catholic Church. So that was horrible for me. Finally, my husband agreed, and then I was able to receive. So is it, a sacrament is powerful. In a marriage, you're not just marrying each other. You are bringing Jesus and the church into your marriage. And you're saying, yes, we will live according to the teachings of the church. Okay, now, back to confession. That is a sacrament. These are things that were handed down from Jesus to us when he established his church, when he looked at Peter, pretty much gave Peter the keys to the church, saying, "You are my rock, and upon my church I will build. And oh, by the way, the gates of hell will never prevail against it," even though look at how much the church is infiltrated by evil people, how much the world hates the Catholic Church. I mean, I was one of them. I didn't know what the Catholic Church was. I didn't know the beauty of it. I just hated it because I didn't want to live by all those rules. I did not want to be Catholic. Then there are sacramentals. Sacramentals are things that remind you of your faith and have certain promises if you are faithful, if you are in a state of grace, if you wear a scapular and you are enrolled. A scapular is a brown piece of wool that is basically the ugliest necklace you've ever seen. I think that's on purpose so that, you know, you can. I wear it out. I wear it out because I use it as a little evangelization tool so that people look at it and they say, "What is that?" Because it's not pretty. And it's wool. If you wear it underneath your clothes, it itches you. And it reminds you every time it itches about God. I wear a miraculous medal that's been exercise blessed. I have a crucifix around my neck as well. I have the cross that my husband gave me. These are all little things. You can wear bracelets, have them all blessed. They remind you of your faith. That's what a sacramental is. And believe it or not, an exorcism by an exorcist priest, which, by the way, is only a Catholic priest, only a Catholic priest can exorcise a demon out of a human being. They use the rite, R-I-T-E, of the Catholic Church. You can't have a pastor from a non-denominational church, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Baptist. They can't exorcise a spirit out of a human being. They can possibly have healing gifts and lay hands on someone and pray in the name of Jesus Christ to heal people, but they cannot exorcise the demon out. Big difference. And crazy, but an exorcism is a sacramental. It's not a sacrament, which is a difference, but in the end, I don't care. If I was possessed, I'd be like, do it. You know, I don't care who you are, what it is. You know, if you have the gift through the Catholic Church to get these spirits out of someone who's possessed, do it. Just trying to say the difference here. Okay, so Divine Mercy Sunday is next Sunday. We are continuing to celebrate Easter all this week. Now, Divine Mercy Sunday came from Pope John Paul II through the diary of St. Faustina. You see the image of Jesus with a ray of red and a ray of white shooting out of his heart. That's his divine mercy. Now that was about 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. And during that time, when St. Faustina wrote it, she said, "Hey, everyone, the mercy of God," sorry, I had a little brain cramp there. "The mercy of God is going to end soon. And then there will be the just judge. Jesus is going to come back. And he ain't going to be so merciful. He's going to be looking at all of us and saying, what have you done with your life? Are you in mortal sin? And judgment is going to come on us." This is why there's no time like right now to kick that sin, that mortal sin out of you, to speak truth and stick up for Jesus, because he said, hey, if you're not doing, I don't know what it exactly is in the Bible, but pretty much, if you're not going to stick up for me, I'm not going to stick up for you in front of my Father. And let's forgive those people, or at least give it to God to change our hearts, to eventually have our feelings be associated with that act. Forgiveness is not a feeling, people. Forgiveness is letting go of the debt that you think that person owes you. So if they stole from you, there's a debt there, a literal debt. But you got to let that go. $10,000, $100,000, $50,000, let it go. And then eventually God will change your heart. There's other debts, right? Like, oh, I want him or her to apologize to me. Because sometimes we can really be idolizing that anger, that resentment. And that is not God. We have to remember that everyone is a child of God. And let's not forget this big one. God won't forgive you if you don't forgive other people. It's biblical. So again, now is the time for us to be making changes. Why am I all over this? Before I move on, go to Divine Mercy. I'm sorry, go to that internet, put in Divine Mercy Promises Catholic and read and find a place for confession. It's so powerful because everything is wiped out, even your temporal punishments. People don't understand this sometimes. Oh, I went to confession, it's all gone. Well, it is. Your sin is gone, but you still have to make reparation. You get your penance, but you've got to change your life. There were many years where I was just going to confession just so that I could receive Jesus in the Eucharist during Mass every week, kind of knowing that I would be coming out of that confessional and doing it again. And that's not a true contrite heart. And I'm not changing my life, so I'm not truly looking at my temporal punishments, my life here on earth. I should be making sacrifices and changing and obviously getting out there and evangelizing and all that kind of stuff. All right. Enough on Divine Mercy Sunday. But look it up. I don't care if you're Catholic or not. It's amazing. And then that's the 7th of April. And then on the 8th, which is the Annunciation, which is in our faith, when, and this is in the Bible too, by the way, but we celebrate it as a big feast day. The Annunciation is when Saint Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." By the way, that's where we get the Hail Mary from, this whole discourse. It's called the Angelic Salutation. So when people think we worship Mary, no, we're just repeating pretty much what Saint Gabriel said to her. And then she said, "Yes, be it done unto me according to thy word." Now, it's not typically on April 8th. I think it's usually on March 25th, but that fell during Holy Week. So the church moved it. So we have Divine Mercy Sunday on the 7th. We have the Annunciation of Mary on the 8th. And then we have the solar eclipse that is going across the central part of the United States. So the central time zone. It is going to be from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock. Those are the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. I just got God bumps all over. Goosebumps, I don't call them goosebumps anymore. I call them God bumps. Now, the 3 hours, by the way, along that journey, I can't remember how many towns, but there's at least 5 towns that are called Nineveh. If you don't know the story of Nineveh, it's when Jonah, and if you come, my whole body is tingling, it's so great. Jonah was the one when God said, "Go to Nineveh." Nineveh is about the size of New York, a big Chicago kind of thing, "and tell everyone that they need to repent, otherwise I'm going to destroy them." Jonah said, "Yeah, later, God," and walked in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh, and then got on a boat. And all this happened, and they were like, "Oh, everything's happening because you're on our boat." He pretty much jumps off the boat, and then the big fish, or the whale, whichever one you want to call it, swallows him up for 3 days, and then spits him out on the shore. In the creed, where you hear, in accordance to the scriptures, that's exactly what Jesus says. And in the Bible, Jesus says, "Something greater than Jonah is here." That's Jesus dying, being crucified, going in to the belly of the earth, opening up graves, right? Because now heaven is open because Jesus came. By the way, the end of that Jonah story, he ends up going to Nineveh and he shouts all of this. And from the king down to the lowest level, you know, the little poverty people, They all repent. They all wear sackcloth. Sackcloth. They all wear sackcloth and ashes. Wow, that was a mix of those two. And they repent. And God takes his wrath off of them. And it's kind of funny because Jonah's all ticked off. He's like, what? You're not going to, you know, bring down your fire on these people after all of this? And he's like, no, because they repented. This is the whole thing. Jesus, something bigger and greater than Jonah is here, Jesus says. I don't know. There are videos out there. I'm not going to go find them for you. You can go search solar eclipse, Mary, Nineveh. I mean, put them all in there. And you can find out what other people are saying about this. Is it the end of the world? Nah, I don't think so. I don't want to say no because I know. Nobody knows. Even these people who are, you know, giving their 2 cents, they don't know either. But now is the time. You may not even want to wait till divine mercy and get to confession. You may want to offer up your anger and your, you know, your vices in your life right now. There's no time like the present because you don't know the day or the hour. I feel that something is going to happen. So, you guys all know that I was on Alvaro's channel. You can go to Alvaro's channel, which is Uniquely Mary on YouTube. And he has a video because God put on his heart that this is the time for us to pray for other people. Divine Mercy Sunday, pray for these people to be converted, for their hearts to see something in this physical reaction of the sun and the moon and the sky. It's biblical that signs of the stars and the moons and the sky are leading people. I mean, that's how the Magi got to Jesus, through a star in the sky. So let's just focus on praying for the conversion of people in our lives and for the whole world. Maybe nothing happens out of this event, maybe. But maybe there is, and so it's time to buckle down and pray for others. We should be doing that anyway. We all know how much I wasn't doing that. I was all about my relationship with God. Yes, I prayed for people when they asked me to, but it really wasn't part of my life so much. Now it's always coming into my heart. Praying for other people throughout the day. Someone will come into my head and I'll be like, oh Lord, please protect that person, or please hug that person, or please give that person some consolation today, or I'm so grateful for this person in my life. Keep showing up in their heart and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that is what it's all about, to love thyself and love thy neighbor. But we got to have God in the center of our life. You know, the two greatest commandments, keep God the center of our life. Pray to him, give him your morning time, start your day with him. And then number two, loving yourself and loving thy neighbor. And you can do it if you have God in your heart and you're constantly praying. Incessantly praying means to always have God in your heart. Bring him into everything. Bring him into making your coffee. Bring him into brushing your teeth, taking a shower, all these kinds of things. That's what he's there for. Speaking of which, I've got to get moving. So let's pray. I just realized I'm late. Well, not late yet, but I've got to get to Mass. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, come Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls. Help us to be loving to everyone in our lives and ourselves. Help us to pray for others. Help us to celebrate this Easter octave and remind everyone how awesome Jesus Christ is. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your only begotten Son. Jesus, thank you for putting yourself through so much for the love of us. We can never repay you. So we will do our best to love you and share you with others. Holy Spirit, we take a moment to pray for all of the souls in purgatory by name. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. One last thing, the Annunciation of Mary. Mary's mission is to step on the head of the serpent. This is why all of the demons can't stand Mary. They know that Mary and Jesus are always together. Let's think about it. Jesus came into this world through Mary. Mary took care of him up until his ministry started at the age of 30. He left the world looking down, Mary at the cross. He loves Mary. He assumed Mary into heaven. Uh-oh. Sorry. Alarm. Probably saying, get a move on to Mass. Anyway, I digress. Mary is assumed into heaven. Assumed. Find her body somewhere. Good luck with that. She has no bones, no body. Why? Because she gave up everything for Jesus. Nobody loved her more than Jesus. And that is why they are together. And that's why the demons, by the way, pretty much rebelled against God's plan. Because he was like, wait a minute, you're going to bring Jesus down to one of your creations? Because the demons, the angels, the good angels and the bad angels are higher than we are. They're smarter than we are. And so that's when Lucifer, who was the highest angel at the time, who is now Satan, basically convinced a whole third of the angels to say, yeah, we're out. This is a really ridiculous plan. So they can't stand Mary. Talk to any exorcist priest. When you bring up her name to the demons, they can't stand. Don't even mention her name. Don't bring up her name. They can say and fake the Our Father, but they cannot. It makes them sick to pray the Hail Mary. So the Annunciation of Mary at that time is something we should consider. All right, everyone, I love you all so, so, so much. Have a blessed Easter. I'll come talk to you tomorrow about what happened over the weekend. But I really wanted you to contemplate and pray for others as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday on April 7th, the Annunciation of Mary on April 8th. Go search Catholic podcasts and hear, because they go way deeper into biblical stuff too. I don't know. I think something big is going to happen. I don't know what. But I'm just going to keep praying for the conversion of souls, because that's what it's all about. Okay, have a blessed and inspired day.